Thank you, Treasurer Damshin. That was that may have been technical, but I'll tell you, school districts and cities have been setting a bond at $300 million, and they tell the voters, we want your approval for $300 million, and then they get $360 million that we have to pay back. And what we want is truth in bonding. And it was amazing to get that through. It was really close in the House, which surprised me, because you would have thought that this would just be a no-brainer. But instead, we had to really work hard. And if it hadn't been for Treasurer Damshin coming to committees and sending out flyers on the floor of the House and the Senate, I believe this bill would not have passed, and we would still have our local governments bonding for more than voters approved. So we're really grateful for the work he did. I now have the opportunity of sharing with you before lunch some gratitude for the six vice presidents of the Utah Taxpayers Association who have basically advocated on behalf of the association for the 26 years that I have served in the Utah legislature. So that I don't forget to ask them to stand at the end, I'd like to ask them to stand, those that are in the room, and be recognized at this time, just so we know who they are. We have Royce Van Tassel over here. We have Wes Quinton over here. And we have Howard Headley in the back, who's with the Bankers Association. And Billy Hesterman. Greg Friede is not able to be here because he's doing important work for Merit Medical, negotiating things around the globe, I'm sure because of everything he learned at the Taxpayers Association. I believe that these six individuals have as much to do with Utah's ranking as Best Economic Outlook and in the top 10 ranking that you'll hear from the Tax Foundation later today at lunch on the business tax climate. I believe these six people have as much to do with our ranking there as anybody in the state. We can talk about the four governors that have served during those 26 years. We can talk about all the legislators that have served, but these people have kept the information and the arguments in front of those governors and in front of those legislators that has made the tax policy change in the state of Utah so that we have those rankings. And that's what I want to talk about, is what they did for us. First, Howard Headley. I remember when I ran for the legislature the first time, and it was a two-year term because it was in a reapportioned district that was leftovers. It was gerrymandered from Cedar Hills in Utah County, up through Alpine and Highland and Lehigh, Draper, Sandy, and up Midvale Center Street. I mean, it just looked like a gerrymander because it was the leftovers. And I had to run against a guy who had been a 10-year incumbent in the House and fortunately won. And Howard Headley was really one in working with local governments, and he won on the municipal business license fee issue time and time again. We were able to keep them from imposing what amounted to an additional sales tax, a sales tax on sale, or 1% on sales or gross receipts of a company as a business license. And he won that battle, but he won a new title because he was so persistent with some of those local government people that somebody at the League of Cities and Towns named him as a brown-shirted Nazi because he just wouldn't give up. So if you look that up on the web, I hope you don't see his name. We won a two-year battle to exempt sales taxes from manufacturing, and it was universal. It even included three-year life at that time. But we found out that the Tax Commission got the estimates wrong, and so we had to come back and take that back. But in the first year, this is my second year in the legislature, and I was the sponsor of the bill, and unfortunately, we didn't do our due diligence with our other business partners the way we should have. And so Larry Bunkle, who was the president of the Manufacturers Association at the time, said, why are you asking for this something so grandiose? We have important legislation this year, and the Manufacturers Association Board of Directors actually initially opposed the bill. But we got it through, and it was going to pass on the final night until the teachers' union went down to Governor Leavitt and said, even the Young Turk Democrats, Frank Pignanelli and Kelly Atkinson and Grant Protzman, are supporting this bill to eliminate sales taxes on manufacturing equipment. You got to go up and take it off the board. And so sure enough, he did. And there's Marty Stevens, the majority leader, who was with Rob Bishop. I went over to Rob Bishop after they took it off the board that final night and said, what happened? And he explained that there was a favor done for the governor. And I said immediately, well, I want three of my bills put at the top of your board, not knowing that he would say, okay, what are they? And I had to think, okay, let me put them in writing. I'll bring you a note, because I had to figure out what were they going to be. And one of those was restoration of initiative and referendum rights, which had been taken away so that when your city or school district or county increased your property taxes or other taxes, you could not circulate a petition and revisit that. But now we got that restored because I demanded three bills be put at the top of the board. That was so far down on the board it would not have passed. So then he also worked to bring truth to truth in taxation hearings. Because after bonds were retired, a lot of entities were increasing their taxes, saying, we're not increasing your taxes, because the bond had been retired, which did not require a truth in taxation hearing, and now they just said, we're not increasing your taxes. And he brought some real focus there. We also won in 1995 and 96 some of the biggest tax cuts in the history of the state. One of the biggest at that time was cutting the statewide uniform school levy in half over those 2 years, which seriously reduced property taxes in the state of Utah. We won victories in equalization of local school taxes as well. That's where we started on this equalization, to make sure that every kid gets equal education funding. While we haven't got the water to the end of the row yet, we're getting there. And then we also repealed the temporary, in quotes, flood tax, which had been imposed in the early 1980s, and now here it was 1995 and 96, we finally get rid of that temporary tax. So Howard Hedley did a great job. He left us to become president of the Utah Bankers Association. So we're kind of glad that we are infiltrating the business associations across the state. Greg Friede was next to take his place. He had been the research analyst under Howard Hedley and had helped to lobby that manufacturing exemption through. He helped us win the establishment of the tax court and trial de novo, so that when you appeal from the tax commission, you can have a new trial on the new record. And we also made sure that we have tax-trained judges designated as tax court judges, so that your attorneys don't have to pay to educate a Renaissance judge on technicalities of tax law. If you think the bonding explanation that you just heard was technical, you ought to hear some of these tax issues that come before the courts. And so we made sure that there were tax court trained judges. Yeah, right here. Senator Valentine, or were you in the House at that time? The House at that time. I believe I was the Senate sponsor and you were the House sponsor. So we got that done, and now he is facing people appealing from him and the tax commission, who can now go on a new record to the court. And hopefully, for all of our interest, it's tax-trained judges rather than a Renaissance judge who knows nothing about taxes. Greg also helped prevent a 20% reduction in the manufacturing pollution and control tax that we had at the time. The legislature was looking to claw back that manufacturing exemption. And you can imagine what signal that would have sent to manufacturers looking to locate here, saying, you can't count on the Utah legislature to keep that exemption in place, so we're not going to locate in Utah. Greg helped to defeat that. He then left to go to become president of the Utah Mining Association. Again, infiltrating the business organizations around the state. And he was replaced by Wes Quinton. Wes had been a research analyst previously and had moved to Canada, and we enticed him to come back. And he really faced some issues in being known by legislators and by the business community, having been gone for a little while. And something happened where he had to testify as the first person representing the business community when the Democrats on the panel were just pummeling him with tough questions, and they were just brutal. And I noticed the other business executive, association executives on the front row just kind of white-faced thinking, boy, I'm sure glad that's not me that's getting pummeled by Eddie Main and other serious Democrats saying, why do you have to have these things for business? And he, afterward, I said, you know, that was a gift they gave you because you now have credibility with them and with all of your business association colleagues, and he did a great job. He helped to prevent the basic school tax rate exemption from Truth in Taxation. The legislature actually wanted to exempt it. Now, we admit that they froze it this year, so what goes around comes around, and it never goes away. But he helped to prevent that from being exempt from Truth in Taxation at that time. He also helped with the Paycheck Protection Law. At that time, the Teachers Union and the Public Employees Unions were the biggest PACs in Utah legislative races. And we took their teeth away by saying government has no business collecting political contributions for the unions or anybody else. And we took it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and even Ruth Bader Ginsburg agreed with us that government has no business collecting PAC contributions. We also indexed the income tax for a period of time, and we passed legislation severely limiting municipal broadband. This was the beginning of utopia, which is really an oxymoron to call it utopia because it has been an utter disaster. Somehow, it's amazing that 11 cities out of our nearly 250 didn't get the memo that the Berlin Wall had come down in 1989 and that grand experiment with Soviet-style delivery of services had failed. These 11 cities said, well, they were evil people. We're good people. We can implement socialism effectively. And it has been an utter disaster. But at least we got it limited so that they couldn't expand it beyond the 11 cities that had made that mistake. He was also trapped in Washington, D.C. when he was joining with the Tax Foundation, who will be speaking at lunch. He was representing us with the National Taxpayers Conference. Our colleagues in 38 other states that have taxpayers associations were meeting in Washington, D.C. on September 11th, 2001. And he was in the White House. He wrote an article that appeared in our newsletter about freedom's peril and how the next day he toured the White House. The White House had not been shut down. And he said, that's as it should be. We should continue to be open government, that we cannot let the terrorists tell us how we're going to access our government. He was actually touring the White House. He wrote such an amazing article that Booth Wallentine, the president of the Utah Farm Bureau Federation at the time, read the article and hired him away from us before the next session started. So, Mike German came on board, who is very well respected and knew his stuff when it came to taxes. And he worked to help us prevent tax hikes in spite of a $256 million revenue shortfall during the recession that followed 9/11. You would have thought we'd have had tax hikes. We didn't, because he hit the ground running. We prevented also a $68 million tax increase when the property tax division at that time miscalculated the certified tax rates for all taxing jurisdictions in the state of Utah. your tax watchdog was on the job and saw that, which maybe nobody would have caught for years. We caught it at the time. The tax commissioner chair, Val Ovison, at the time said, you're right, we're going to correct those certified rates. And we avoided a $68 million tax hike that would have been the base for the next year's new taxes. We defeated a 2004 sales tax for open space. We spent $30,000 to do it. The proponents spent over $1 million. And on the night of the election, after Dan Jones had done exit polling, he predicted that it was going to pass 55-45. It failed 55-45. We also restricted bond election dates to June primary and November election. When I got in the legislature, the bond elections could be held any day of the year, 365 days of the year. They could hold it at odd times to get low voter turnout and to get the bonds approved. And we narrowed it down to 5 days, and then Kurt Bramble came in the legislature and said, why do you have 5 days for bond elections? We said, well, because that's all we could get. He said, well, let's fix that. So now we just have November elections and the primary election. When we have broad voter turnout, when you can adopt those bond elections. We also enacted an optional double-weighted sales factor at the time and enacted 2007 omnibus tax cuts, which Senator Wayne Niederhauser and I believe it was, who was the House sponsor of that bill? I'm trying to remember. But they got that through, and that was the biggest tax reforms we've had since this year. Then he was replaced by Royce Van Tassel, who did an amazing job. We fought the convention center government-owned hotel, inserting requirements which have prevented it from ever going forward. We also battled Utopia's poor decision-making, limiting the expansion to other cities. And if there's anybody in the nation who is an expert on municipal broadband, it is Royce Van Tassel. He is accessed by people across the nation on how to avoid this socialized kind of use of broadband. We also defeated the Cottonwood Mall RDA. At that time, the Granite School Board actually voted to give away $100 million to multiple entities in their district. They voted to give it away in tax increment financing for retail that would otherwise have occurred without any incentive. And we defeated that Cottonwood Mall RDA. And as you can see, it's still brownfields because they tore it down before they were ready to actually build something better. We also supported the Salt Lake City Public Safety Building Bond. We had opposed it twice and defeated it on the ballot twice, even though there's no more liberal voters in the state of Utah than in Salt Lake City. And yet when they saw that how it would hit their pocketbooks because they had such extravagance built into it, they said no, and we helped defeat it twice. And then they came to us and said, can we get some agreement to limit the size and the scope of the bond? And we said, sure. And so we actually endorsed that bond. It passed. And then we met with them in their planning and architectural phase to design savings in it. They wanted to have curved windows and a lot of things like that. So we said, no, flat panes are just fine. Nobody's going to notice. But it would have, we saved $2 or $3 million in our cost efficiency review of their plans. And we're grateful for Salt Lake City for letting us do that. And then we defeated Jordan School District's $500 million Taj Mahal bond. And we came back to help them with a bond of about half that size, which they really needed because they're growing so fast. And then finally, Billy Hesterman, who's our current vice president and does such an amazing job. We ended the centrally assessed ratcheting effect on the certified property tax rate. And because of time, I won't go into that, but that was a huge, complex thing that in high centrally assessed counties, you had this ratcheting effect on your property taxes because of the way the certified tax rate was being implemented. We limited county appeals on centrally assessed values. prevented Salt Lake County from adopting harmful property tax appeal process. And by the way, I was just talking with the Salt Lake County assessor yesterday. They have now decided to not allow you as tax appealers access to the assessment values until July 1st, which narrows the window that people can have help professionally to do that. And he has now agreed to revisit that. So we're working with them right now to say, you know, as soon as that information is available to anybody, it should be available to everybody so we can effectively appeal our taxes. We equalize the statute of limitation for tax refunds. If you're getting a tax refund, the limitation was narrower than if you had a tax deficiency. And so we got that equalized. We won a lawsuit protecting anonymous free speech. We were in this process of wanting to be able to not have to disclose our members when we take a position on something. And the law that had been passed by the legislature, even the Attorney General agreed, was unconstitutional. We passed Truth in Bonding, which has just been noted by Treasurer Dampshin. We required transparency in enterprise fund transfers to the general fund. Enacted single sales factor income tax apportionment, which was part of the property tax bill 293. And we eliminated 3-year life manufacturing sales tax penalty contingent on the Supreme Court's congressional action. So I just want to express personally my gratitude for these professionals handling the work of the Taxpayers Association's advocacy at the legislature while I've been serving in the legislature for 26 years. I could tell you that it was amazing to me to see how many of my colleagues say, your people, whenever I have a question about taxes, I go to Mike German or I go to Billy Hesterman because I know that you guys will give us the information we need and the facts. Lots of organizations wish they had the name ID that these individuals have had when they've been lobbying the legislature, but they have earned it because they know their stuff. And I just want to once more ask for your applause of these 6 heroes who have been advocates for taxpayers over the last 26 years.